This message is given in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. I'm curious, how many of you here have ever watched the late TV talk show hosted by David Letterman? Raise your hand if you've seen David Letterman. Practically everybody here. Well, you probably know then that David Letterman has become famous for his top 10 lists. These are humorous lists having to do with various subjects. Well, during the season of Lent, our Sunday and midweek sermons have been based on God's top 10 list, namely the Ten Commandments. However, unlike David Letterman's lists, the Ten Commandments are not humorous statements intended for our entertainment purpose. Instead, the Ten Commandments are the very words of God Himself. The Ten Commandments deal with very serious matters. In fact, the Ten Commandments describe for us what a perfect human life ought to be. Well, so far my sermons have addressed Commandments 1 through 8. And we've learned about the good things that God expects us to do, as well as the evil things that God expects us to avoid. We've also learned, sadly, that we sinners do not obey God's commandments. The fact is, we do the evil He forbids, and we fail to do the good that He expects of us. And so we've also learned that the Ten Commandments actually expose our sin and show us that we deserve God's presence and eternal wrath. And so, again, unlike David Letterman's lists, God's top 10 list is no laughing matter. Well, today we come to the end of God's commandments, and we will finally get to the heart of the matter. You see, the 9th and 10th commandments actually have to deal with the desires of our hearts. These commandments expose the evil desires that lead us to sin by word and deed against the first 8 commandments. The 9th and 10th commandments actually expose the fact that we are sinners. In other words, sin is not merely what we think or say or do. Sin is actually what we are. You see, we have inherited a sinful nature from Adam, and therefore it is natural for us to rebel against God. Listen to what Paul writes about this in Romans chapter 8. Listen carefully. He says, "Those who live according to the sinful nature have their minds set on what that nature desires. The mind of sinful man is death. The sinful nature is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God." Well, Paul doesn't seem to have a very positive analysis of sinful humans, unlike our world today, where we often hear that we're all basically good. In fact, when we hear Paul talk about people who are hostile to God, we're tempted to think of the real sinners. You know, the murderers, the rapists, the terrorists, the drunks, the thieves, and so on. But we need to understand that when Paul talks about people who are hostile to God, this also includes the moral and religious people of our society. But how can that be, you ask? How can good people who practice religion be hostile to God? Well, you see, Scripture teaches that without the Holy Spirit, who gives us a new heart, we cannot submit to God's law. And this not only means that we can't keep God's law, it also means that without the Spirit, we refuse to believe what the commandments actually teach us. And what do they teach us? They teach us that we are by nature enemies of God. So people who think that they are basically good are actually actually refusing to believe what the Ten Commandments teach us. And what does that mean? It means that we are actually hostile to God if we seek to please Him by trying to be good enough to deserve His blessing. So when we try to impress God with our obedience, we actually anger Him all the more. In fact, that's why the Pharisees were so hostile to Jesus. The Pharisees had been worshiping a false god they had made up in their own minds. They were worshiping a god that patted them on the back for their good deeds. But what happened when they were confronted with the one true God, Jesus? Well, they were so hostile to Him that they said, "Crucify Him." And I'm afraid that we are no better. We are no better when we think that God loves us because of who we are and what we do. You know, many people who claim to be Christian actually worship a false god who rewards them for their good works. But that's why God uses His Ten Commandments to show us the truth. And the truth is that we are by nature enemies of God. That means no matter how good we look on the outside, our hearts reveal how evil we really are. Now, Jesus made this point in our gospel reading. He makes the point that we are not basically good people who happen to mess up once in a while. Instead, Jesus gets to the heart of the matter. Listen to His words again. He says, "Out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, slander, and so on." He says, these are what make a person unclean, the desires of the heart. In fact, the sins that Jesus listed match up with the Ten Commandments, don't they? Jesus is showing us that we break the Ten Commandments not only by what we say and do, but by the very desires of our heart. So, it doesn't matter if you look like a wonderful, moral, ethical, loving, holy person on the outside. That means nothing to God. God sees our hearts. And without Jesus, our hearts are not very nice to look at. Therefore, I'm afraid that the ninth and tenth commandments utterly humble us. You see, the last two commandments have to deal with a sin called coveting. And what does coveting mean? Well, to covet means that you desire something that God has not given you. Now, for Adam and Eve, it was the forbidden fruit and their desire to be like God. But we also have many forbidden fruits that we desire. We desire these things because we also want to be gods who choose what is good and evil for ourselves. And so the ninth and tenth commandments condemn the evil desires of our hearts that lead us to break the first eight commandments by the evil things that we say and do, or by the good things that we refuse to do and say. In fact, we sinners are even condemned when we strive to obey God's commandments, because as sinners we obey for the wrong reasons. My friends, we need to understand that even if we were able to keep the first eight commandments in word and deed, the evil desires in our hearts would be quite enough to condemn us before God. And that's why Jesus said that lust is equal to adultery and anger is equal to murder. Well, by now I think we get the point. God knows our every thought and desire. And this fact should cause every one of us to fall on our knees. I mean, we can fool other people. We can even fool ourselves. But we can't fool God. On the final day, the Bible says that God will expose our thoughts and desires for all to see. writes about this in 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Listen now to these harsh words. He says, "The Lord will bring to light what is hidden in darkness and will expose the motives of men's hearts." Now, I don't know about you, but this word of God scares me to death. But you see, that's just the point. God uses His Ten Commandments to kill us. God uses His law to crush our pride and put our sinful nature to death. And why does He do that? Because He loves us. You see, God knows that He cannot fill us with Jesus if we are full of ourselves. And so God puts us to death so that He can give us new life in Jesus. You could say that God uses Jesus to give us a heart transplant. Of course, I'm not talking about a physical heart transplant, although we believers will have perfect physical hearts one day. But the point I'm talking about is that God gives us a new nature. Jesus gives you and me a new heart that is clean and never has any evil desires. In fact, if you look on the cover of your bulletin, there's a little quotation there from Psalm 51. King David wrote Psalm 51, and in that psalm he talks about God giving us a new heart. Let me read part of that psalm for you. "Surely you desire truth in the inner parts. You teach me wisdom in the inmost place. Cleanse me with hyssop and I will be clean. Wash me and I will be whiter than snow. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquity. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me." Did you hear that? David asks God to give him a new heart. But how does God accomplish that? Well, David mentions being cleansed with hyssop. Now, what in the world does that mean? Well, hyssop was a leafy branch used by the Old Testament priests in the temple. You see, after the priests offered animal sacrifices on the altar in the temple, they would take a hyssop branch and dip it in the blood, and then they would use that branch to sprinkle the sacrificial blood on the people. And this was a sign to them that they were forgiven and that they had new hearts before God. Now, of course, these animal sacrifices were pictures of the one true sacrifice of Jesus, who shed His blood for our sins and makes us clean before God. With that in mind, listen carefully to this passage from Hebrews chapter 10. It says, "Let us draw near to God with a sincere heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience." Did you hear that awesome good news? Jesus doesn't merely give us cosmetic surgery that makes us look good on the outside. Jesus actually gives us a heart transplant. He gives us a new nature. Paul writes about that also in Romans chapter 8. Listen to what he says. "Those who live according to the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. The mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace." My Christian friends, God has used His law to put your sinful nature to death, and He has used His good news to give you new hearts. New hearts that trust in Jesus as your Savior from sin and judgment. My friends, Jesus' blood washes away the guilt of your sin. That means you can also pray with David that God would hide His face from your sin and that He would create in you a new heart that trusts in God and longs to serve Him. Now, please understand, as Christians who have new hearts, we still have our evil hearts with us. And that's why we struggle with sin every day. But the good news is that when our bodies eventually die, our sinful nature will cease to exist on that time. However, our new hearts will live on. Our new hearts will go to be with Jesus, awaiting the day of resurrection and eternal life with God. And my friends, that's why we Christians do not have to fear the day of judgment. Remember that Bible verse from Paul where he said that on the final day, God will expose every thought, every desire of our hearts? But you see, as Christians, we will stand before God on the final day, and we will not have our evil hearts with us. They're gone. The only hearts we will have with us on the final day are the new hearts that are filled with Jesus and all of His good desires. That's why you have nothing to fear on the final day. And we Christians need to remember this promise, especially when we struggle with the evil desires of our hearts. In fact, if you're like me, all I ever seem to notice are the evil desires of my sinful heart. But by faith in God's Word, I know that Christ has given me a new heart. And that's the heart that God chooses to see as He hides His face from my sins. God has also given you a new heart as well. He hides His face from your sins and He sees only the desires of Jesus in your new hearts that will live on forever. And so rejoice, my friends. Jesus has saved you from the evil coveting of your sinful hearts. And that means just like King David, we poor sinners can come to God through Christ and pray, "Create in me a pure heart, O God." Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all our understanding, guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen.